So, welcome to today's podcast. Today we're here with Laura DeWitt, the founder of Scout Jewelry. My name is Amelia Spoonauer, and I also have Sedona Lucas on the line. We are both senior marketing communication advertising majors, currently taking Dr. Schoonmaker's digital media marketing class. So we just kind of want to learn about what your experience has been being a female entrepreneur, starting your business, having a super successful jewelry line. So if we could just get right into it and you can tell us about Scout Jewelry, kind of like a background about it.
Sure. Yeah. The company name is Scout Curated Wares. And okay. It's a fashion jewelry company. We sell modern multi-use jewelry with a bohemian flair. The items are all designed to have meaning and to be perfect for gift giving. Mm-hmm. And most of the business is wholesale, direct to retail stores all over the country. We also sell a little bit internationally. And we also have B2C sales on our e-commerce website.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Could you explain a little more about why you started it and when you started it and how long you've been doing this?
Yeah, so I started the company at the end of 2015, and I started it, my inspiration to start the company, my personal inspiration was a desire for independence and control, and I wanted control over my career and my success, and I also wanted control over my work-life balance and work-family balance. My business inspiration was that I just really saw an opportunity in the market to create a line of jewelry that filled a need. I was in the fashion industry for many years before I decided to start my company.
So you had your own experience in the fashion industry before you started Scout Jewelry?
I did. I had about 20 years experience. Oh. I went to college for fashion merchandising and business. Mm. And I have a bachelor's degree in that. And when I left school, I became a buyer in the fashion industry. And I left that company. I worked for that company for 12 years. And I ended up working for one of the vendors that I used to buy from. And I ended up being their head of product development. And through all of that experience, I had the buying side, business, product development, sales, and I just saw an opportunity to do something on my own.
That's awesome. So if you could describe the business in one word, what would it be?
Yeah, I looked at this question that you had sent over, and I was wondering what word would I choose to describe, and I chose dynamic.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's because things are constantly changing, challenging, growing. We've had tremendous growth over the last 3 years. We've grown 300%, then 150%, and then 100% last year. And so it's just constantly changing and challenging in a good way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really great to see all that growth. With seeing all that growth, have you been able to figure out who exactly your specific target market is, or does it kind of change as things go along?
You know, that's an interesting question and a really important one. Most of my sales are wholesale, so it's B2B sales, and we don't actually come into contact with our end user very often. The data that we have on our end user is through our e-commerce website and our Instagram and Facebook social media marketing. So I don't have as much data on our end user as I would like, but from what we see, it's women 25 to 45.
Okay.
So you mentioned social media, and that's the way you market your products. Do you have any other forms of advertising that you think are important?
Well, because we are really concentrated in the wholesale market with B2B sales, we have an interesting model that a lot of other wholesale companies use as well.
Okay.
So we have a network of about 90 sales reps all over the country. Wow. And they're really our advertising, and they're like our boots on the ground. These are mostly women, and they work for sales rep agencies by territory across the U.S. It's organized in a few different territories. And we have representation in every state, including Alaska and Hawaii. And those sales reps have personal relationships with the stores in their territory. And so they represent a package of products. They represent our line. They might have a candle line, a bath products line, a greeting card line. And so they have a whole package of offerings that they can bring to the buyers and the store owners to show them when they're ready to see new products and place orders. So it's kind of not a standard way of advertising, but we spend a lot of money on that.
Right.
They're paid commission based on how much they sell. We distribute them our samples every season, so every twice a year we launch new product lines, and we send out rep kits that include catalogs, samples, any sales material that they need. We educate them through seasonal webinars to teach them about our new products and tell them about where we're having success and where they could concentrate their efforts in opening new accounts for us. So that's really our biggest line item as far as budget for marketing. We produce 2 catalogs a year for the wholesale industry. We do trade shows all over the country, mostly in conjunction with our sales reps.
So something I'm just thinking of is, as an entrepreneur, how did you learn all of the business side of this stuff when you went to school for fashion and merchandising? Obviously that has to do with business, but how did you learn like the ins and outs that you have to know to be an entrepreneur?
Really through experience and just getting involved in things, and trial and error. And there's so many things that I don't know, and that I'm always needing to learn, really. As an entrepreneur, you just don't know everything, and it's really important to get involved with a network of entrepreneurs. I found that amazingly helpful to get involved locally with local entrepreneurs, and then you have a network of people to reach out to.
Right.
If you don't know how to do something, someone in your network might know how to do it, or might know someone who can help you. And networks are extremely helpful.
Yeah, so speaking of like your local network, where can your products be purchased in the area?
Locally, there's a store in Springfield called Simply Grace.
Yep.
And they sell pretty much our whole line of products. There's another store in Northampton called Cedar Chest. And they sell the whole line as well. And there are several other accounts. There's one in East Longmeadow. There's several nearby in Connecticut. We have a store locator on our website that lists all of our current accounts.
Cool, okay.
So you mentioned that when you started this business back in 2015, and it's been growing ever since, reaching great success. But is there anything you wish you knew at the beginning of all of this and the whole process?
I think I would have gotten involved with networks earlier. I spent the probably first year just totally on my own trying to launch it. And it was really lonely, and I didn't have a lot of friends that were entrepreneurs. So getting involved with the network, I wish I had done sooner. Also looking back, I wish I had made decisions quicker, even if they weren't the right ones.
Yeah.
So sort of like just learning to make decisions and not, and be okay with them not being a perfect solution.
Okay. You said, so at the beginning of kind of this whole journey, you were almost a little alone in it. So did you have any mentors along the way, or did you kind of just do things alone from the start and then just found that network, or was there anyone that really helped you through all of it?
I had friends through my contacts in the fashion industry that I would reach out to.
Okay.
Yeah, periodically to ask questions, but I was pretty alone in it in the beginning.
Would you say that was your biggest obstacle in the whole business?
Definitely in the startup phase, yeah. Okay.
What about now?
Wow, that's... Now my biggest obstacle is COVID-19.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
How is that impacting your business right now?
My sales fell 95%.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah. So we... 95% of my business is to stores, and they're all closed.
Right.
So... we're really working now feverishly at ramping up retail sales on our website because it's like the only way that we can reach our customers right now. It's something that was not a priority before because the wholesale business was so strong and growing and taking really all of our energy. But now it's a good time really to put energy into building the retail sales.
How are you doing that? Are you using your social media or how are you trying to drive sales to your website?
We're ramping up social media and sponsored posts, Facebook and Instagram ads with retargeting campaigns. We have a mailing list on our website of 10,000 people, which is really not that big, but we're utilizing that email list more than we ever have, and that's been very successful so far. We're trying to build our mailing list, so lots of different approaches, running giveaways on social media. We're actually next week gonna launch a campaign to help support all of the stores that buy from us. So we're going to launch something on social media that helps support them as well because they're closed and they're hurting in this whole situation too.
That's great. That's a great idea. Do you have any other advice for female entrepreneurs like yourself who are trying to start up a business and trying to reach success right now?
Really just get involved, find a network, especially a network of women entrepreneurs, to find support. I think there are a lot of resources now out there for women entrepreneurs, and it's a very supportive network. So I think that would be my key advice.
Yeah. Okay.
So obviously you've had great success, and how have you managed to grow the company so far across like even the country when it started just out as a little local business?
Yeah, it was a slow kind of strategic process. I knew that I wanted to focus on wholesale. So I think knowing what market you want to focus on is very helpful because then you can really zero in on that market and be successful there, hopefully. So when I first started out, I had one design of jewelry and it came in. It was a bracelet that converted to a necklace, and it came in 10 colors, and that's what I started the company with. And I found a sales rep group in the Northeast where we are that would represent the line, even though I only had one product that came in 10 colors. And that was really partially through my connections from when I was a buyer.
Right.
So I had a reputation locally in the industry of being a strong buyer. And I leveraged that and they took on my line. And then I couldn't get anyone else in other parts of the country to take it. I would cold call rep groups and they would say, we have enough jewelry. We're all set. You know, we don't need any more jewelry lines. And I just kept trying. And then I started targeting a few rep groups that I really wanted to be in. And instead of trying to cold call them, I just sent them a package of samples. And that was successful. I got a couple more rep groups to bring on the line. And some of them weren't the best rep groups, but I needed to start somewhere. and it helped me build sales and revenue and build the brand and brand recognition so that I could move on to the A-level rep groups. And now we're in A-level rep groups all over the country, and we have rep groups that turned us down in the beginning, calling us, asking if they can have the line. That must feel good. It does.
Yeah. Well, you're clearly very busy with this entire business, and Dr. Schoonmaker has given us a little insight of more details of your life, and we know that you have two young children. How do you handle that work-life balance with being a female entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's really difficult.
I can imagine.
In ways, it's almost just as hard as if you're working for someone else. But when you're working for yourself, you do have flexibility in some ways that you might not have if you're working for someone else. So I have an amazing husband who really is and has been their primary caregiver while I've been building this business, and I'm there a lot, but thank goodness that his schedule lines up with their school schedule. So it's hard. I mean, you make sacrifices, especially in the beginning. You don't sort of instantly have employees and sales and all of these things that you need to be successful. Employees are really important.
Yeah.
I should have gotten employees probably a year before I started hiring. I should have started hiring. So the beginning's really hard. And it's hard to balance. Luckily, I'm a night owl, so I sort of like to do things that I need to do at like 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it's getting easier. And building anything is really difficult, and it's hard when you're also balancing family. But it has worked, and it's getting easier. And now I have great employees and more flexibility, and I'm able to travel. We love to travel. I'm able to travel a lot with my family, and it's now enjoying the success. I'm still working really hard, but building a team is really important to create balance.
Yeah. So the first thing that came up when I searched your name and your line was this Valley Venture Mentors 2016 Accelerator, and I saw an interview with you about it. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what that was?
Yeah, that was really the first network that I got involved with, right? Maybe 6 months after I started the business. Mm-hmm. It was just really lucky of me to find out about an accelerator program that they were doing and to apply for it sort of out of the blue and get in. And I think there were 200 or a little more than 200 companies that applied for 30 spots. And I actually didn't get in.
Oh, wow.
I think I was close to getting in, but I didn't get in. And someone dropped out. And I remember they called me on my cell phone, and they were like, someone dropped out, and we have a spot. And so I took the spot, and I felt like the underdog because I actually didn't get in.
Yeah.
But I ended up, there was a competition at the end of the accelerator, and the competition was for basically grant money to help you build your business, and I ended up coming in third place.
Oh, awesome.
That's great.
So it was a really great experience. It was actually one of the hardest things I've ever done because it took me out of my comfort zone. I'm not a public speaker, and was not as developed as an entrepreneur as a lot of people in the program were.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great experience, made great connections, still are connected with so many people that were involved with Valley Venture Mentors and people I was in the accelerator with, and everyone's really supportive.
That's great. Cool. That sounds like a really great experience. As a female